Welcome back to the PigX podcast. It is hard to believe, but this month marks the next adventure for the fifth season of the PigX podcast. Over the last four seasons, the Pig Livability Project has been putting forward the PigX podcast. Now entering into the fifth season, we still have so much great content ahead of us for the next 12 months. To start out our new season, we are bringing two fantastic conversations today. To start us out, we have Janae Metzger discussing her presentation topic from the 2023 Iowa Swine Day event on how to establish a winning culture on your farm. Throughout Janae's presentation, she touches on what the term culture means in her mind, how to set up new employees on the farm for personal and professional success, and what it can look like when implementing the Entrepreneurial Operating System, otherwise known as EOS, with farm employees and the leadership team. Then later in the episode, we'll be hearing from Stacy Matchin, the Iowa Pork Industry Center's program specialist, about the history of the Iowa Swine Day event, as well as what to look forward to for the 2024 Iowa Swine Day event coming up in July. Before we jump in, though, let's visit with Janae, who is beginning our conversation with an explanation of what the word culture means to her.
I think everyone would define culture different. To me, though, culture is kind of subjective, and it's a feeling, in a sense, of belonging, and that this is where you're supposed to be. And I guess that's what I gathered when I interviewed my team and I asked them what culture was to them. And that's what the feedback was, is just, this is a second family. This is a sense of belonging. I feel taken care of. And so to me, culture is that atmosphere that the team feels and or helps create.
And I'm sure that as a human resources manager, you get to see a lot of the people side of the business and the culture that is created within organizations. But is there any sort of a silver bullet that an organization can employ to have a great culture?
So quite honestly, I was discussing this with the speaker who was after me, and I was like, there's really no like magic sauce to HR. I was like, but if it had to come down to something, to me, it's the golden rule. Treat others as you would want to be treated. So to me, I put myself in their shoes a lot. And so if somebody is struggling, maybe it's with performance or attitude or whatever it may be, engagement, if you want to call it that instead, I try to visit with them and understand what else is going on contributing to that. And or when my TN visa folks are moving here from Mexico, I mean, many miles away from family, and some are leaving wives and kids behind, I try to put myself exactly in their shoes and say, okay, what resources do they need to be successful? What would they want to know? How can I help them help their families? And so if that was me moving to foreign country, I would absolutely love it if someone did that for me.
Yeah, that's a good point, because in the swine system, we employ labor forces that may be very different culturally in the way that they were raised. They might be from different countries. So how do you go about creating and maintaining a culture with lots of different personalities, backgrounds, experiences, and even nationalities?
Yeah, I think that's a unique challenge. But honestly, I try to orientate everybody the same, because I not only employ those that are from foreign countries, but I've honestly recruited individuals that have come from opposite coasts and coming to the central. And so when I'm helping somebody relocate, no matter where they come from, it's the same process, in a sense, of introducing them to our team, to our community, the resources here, helping them understand our business. You know, what can our business offer them? Maybe it's buying them just an initial stock of groceries, or helping them get their bank account set up, or transfer money back home to family, or I don't know, I just think of all these little things that I do for people, but you know, it really makes a difference. And then setting them up for success, in a sense of like, if they need documentation, like social security card, or they need to find a place to live, working with them and getting all those details lined up ahead of time, or providing temporary arrangements, whatever it may be. So I guess I treat everybody the same, or I certainly try to, in establishing their employment here, no matter where they're coming from.
So when you think about a winning culture, what is the formula to do that? Talk us through a little bit about some of the points that you shared at the Iowa Swine Day.
So for me, I had three different pillars that I spoke on of how did we get to our winning culture. And those three pillars are 4DX, which stands for the four disciplines of execution, EOS, which is entrepreneurial operating system, and surveys. And so utilizing those three resources, I feel as if that's how we've gotten to where we are today. So EOS model really focuses, or at least we've focused on the accountability chart, establishing goals, writing a vivid vision, which is a multi-year document, and implementing level 10 meetings. And so of those four principles in the EOS model that we've really taken and run with, 4DX, or the four disciplines of execution, really fit into that. Because to me, well, 4DX, the four disciplines of it are focusing on the wildly important, which are your goals, acting on lead measures, a compelling scoreboard, and a cadence of accountability. And so a lot of those definitely fit in with the EOS platform. And the 4DX is a book out there. I would highly encourage people to read about it. It just helps you establish the execution and the importance of execution. And not only is it following through with those things, but measuring your success along the way. Lastly, I utilize surveys. And with those surveys, I use both a index model, which is presented to my team twice a year, and a state interview model, which is just kind of more open form questions twice a year. And so utilizing this information, I'm able to get a pulse on the team and just understand where are we, where are places we need to work, what's follow-up I need to do, maybe on an individual level or on a team level, and then communicating with the supervisors of those teams as far as, hey, this is the feedback I got, this is where we need to focus, or these are people, maybe particular individuals we need to really help get back on the bus, so to speak.
I love that you have a framework with very specific items so people can see and track their progress. You hold them accountable. But how do you get buy-in from employees at all different levels, from your core employees to your middle managers to your top leadership?
So the EOS model, the implementation of that started at high-level leadership. And then it's definitely flowed down to the different teams. And so when we saw success at our leadership level, then we broke it out and took portions of that out to our teams. And so, for example, like the ROCs can't all be accomplished by just the leadership team. So the ROC goes to the individual team that it affects, and then the team rallies around it, so to speak, getting those resources to make it successful and completed. Same thing with the vivid vision. We take that, we break it down, we bring it to the teams, we get their input and say, you know, where do you want to be? Where do you see us going and arriving in the next 3 years? And so getting their buy-in really helps you to get ultimately to the end, but then it keeps them engaged along the way. So I think as you see success, and then folks in the other teams or the smaller teams perhaps see your success, they want to be a part of that. Same thing with the culture. And when you have a winning culture, or a culture that's really working for you, when you introduce people to that and they see how great it is, they want to contribute. And so I just think it's the atmosphere you create for your team members that they feel like their contributions matter. And so they will continue to contribute to what you've created.
So I think the final question that I have, Janae, is it's great to have a structure. And I love that you guys use those three different pillars. But for folks that are just getting started and just, you know, really focusing on culture, maybe that can be a little daunting to implement three different new systems. What's your piece of advice to just getting started and getting into that and focusing on culture?
What I would say also to these three different layers, so to speak, is this all came in time. This was an evolution, and this is what we found has worked for us. So I'm not saying that somebody should take this exact model, but I think we can definitely learn from each other. What I would say, if you're going to start, I would start with the surveys. At least that's where I started, because I didn't even know where we were. And so if you don't know where you're at, you need to establish kind of your baseline. And so asking your team members, interviewing them, getting an idea of how they feel the business or the culture is, that's what I would encourage somebody to begin with. And I would say at least that helps you understand where you're at and maybe some of the focus points from there.
Switching our focus from the 2023 presentation, let's look forward at the 2024 Iowa Swine Day event coming up. We'll kick things over here to Stacey Matchin to start out with some brief history on the event.
This is our 13th year doing Iowa Swine Day. It originally started with Dr. John Patience, who had a producer come up to him and ask why he had to go out of state to get to a Swine Day conference. And so I think 2012 was the first one that we held here in Ames, Iowa at the Scheman Building, and we've been there ever since. It's a pretty cool event that is put together by a program committee made up of producers and allied industry. We get together like September, October, the year before. So right after the main conference, basically, we start planning for the next one. And the producers come together and we just, you know, put a whole bunch of ideas up on the board of what they think is going to be an up and coming topic, hot topic that we need to address the following summer. So it's kind of like a war room. We just do a whole bunch of topics and then we kind of filter them down into buckets, so to speak, and then try and think of speakers for each topic. And we just roll from there, developing the program.
Stacey, when you think about who usually attends the Iowa Swine Day, who is in the audience and who should think about attending?
Yeah, so since we are in year 13, it's evolved and gotten bigger and bigger a little bit every year. And now we can accommodate a wider audience. So I'd say right now, our audience is probably about 40 to 50% producers. And the rest would be made up of allied industry, academia, veterinarians. So our morning plenary session are bigger, broader topics that can be applied to everybody in the audience. So some of them aren't even necessarily related to swine, just bigger topics that can be applied to the swine industry. And then in the afternoon, we split out into four breakout sessions, and that's where the individual tracks can kind of follow for each audience base. So typically we have a track on animal health, herd health, disease, foreign animal, disease preparedness. We always have an Iowa State research update session. And then typically the last few years we've had labor. So that's, you know, geared more towards the producer, how to entice labor, how to improve labor, the shortage, you know, all technology on the farm. And then usually just like a hot topic. So we try to have a track for all audience bases. And a lot of times there are talks that the audience wants to go to multiple talks at the same time. So something that we do and always have done is record the talks and then make those available online for attendees to listen to at a later time so they can hit all topics. But I'd say the audience base now is mainly made up of, you know, everyone that works in the swine industry. And we try to make sure we have topics and talks for everyone every year.
So Stacey, you mentioned some of the common topics that you cover, but looking at this year's Swine Day lineup, it's a little different this year. So talk to us about what this year's event looks like and what are some of the specific topic and speakers that were selected?
We do have some repeat topics and some new topics. Something that's new this year that we've also implemented is a pre-conference symposium. So we've never done that before, but we're offering a pre-conference symposium on basically soybean meal. So we're trying to hit those nutritionists. So that'll be available the day before from 1 to 5. And that's, again, all focused around soybean meal, how to utilize it, how to feed it, et cetera. So that's just one other tactic that we're taking to try and expand the conference a little bit and not dilute it out too much on the main day. But on the main day, we have in the morning some pretty broad topics. So we'll have Ross Bernstein talking about the Champions Code, which a few of our producers had heard him speak before and thought he had a pretty powerful talk that can be applied to the swine industry, even though he's not in the animal agriculture industry at all. Similar to like Eric Potterat, who we had last year, just gives an overall message. But then, you know, we go into foreign animal disease preparedness, you know, protecting the herd. So different ways to surveil your herd and sample biosecurity, and then labor. So we have a couple talks on how to recruit international employees, and then also how to recruit them. And then once they're here in the US, how to retain them. So we go through the different visas, the different processes, the different regulations, but then also just on farm employee comfort and happiness to keep them on your farm. And so they don't go to another farm once they're here, to another system. And then we, in that same labor session, talk about precision ag. So technology on the farm, how to utilize it, you know, to entice those workers, to make their jobs a little easier, to keep them there. And then current hot topics. So talk about the global pork update. Something that we're excited to have talked about this year is high path avian influenza in the poultry industry and what they've gone through and how we can apply that to prepare ourselves in the pork industry. So, you know, just thinking about Dr. Craig Rolls is going to talk about that, but talking about how much carbon it took to compost all of the layers, all of, you know, the chickens that had to be euthanized due to high path. And then when you convert that to swine, to pigs, we're, you know, we're not ready. And I think his message will be really eye-opening to people. So we have a little bit of everything. Of course, we touch on Prop 12 a little bit, talking about the auditing process with Jamie Eggers. So yeah, we have a little bit of everything. But yeah, definitely new this year is that pre-conference.
So Stacey, as you think about why attend, what are some common things you hear from attendees, or what should be the main reason of somebody considering attending this year's event?
So obviously the education is a huge component of it, but something that we've always prided ourselves and attendees really get, you know, a lot out of is that face-to-face interaction and networking. So we have quite a few breaks built in throughout the day. And a lot of people are remote these days, and coming in person to a meeting and catching up with your colleagues that you maybe haven't seen since the last swine day is, you know, a really great opportunity. So I would say the networking is huge. Again, this year, like we had last year, we have a social barbecue the evening before. So we used to have the barbecue after the event ended, after the program ended, but we found that people really just wanted to get on the road and go home. So last year, we moved it to the evening before out at the Hansen Center, and we had great attendance. We had probably 180 people show up, and we had barbecue and beer. And it's just, you know, if you're coming in the day before, might as well get together. And so I'd say the networking is a pretty special part about Swine Day that people really enjoy outside of, you know, obviously learning about what is going on in the swine industry through the talks.
If you would like to register to attend the upcoming Iowa Swine Day event on July 25th, the website to do so is ipic.iastate.edu/iowaswineday.html. Also on the website, you can check out the guest speakers for this year's conference, get a glimpse at the schedule, and find resources available to help you navigate Ames when the conference day arrives. Thank you again to both Janae and Stacey for taking time to join the PigX podcast and share this information with our listeners. And thank you all for tuning in again. Until next time, I'm your host, Delaney Howell, and this has been the PigX podcast.
PigX is a national podcast hosted by the Pig Livability Project partners at Iowa State University, Kansas State University, and Purdue, and supported by the Iowa Pork Industry Center. For more information on the project, head to www.piglivability.org, or to inquire directly with questions regarding the project, email ipic@iastate.edu. PigX, ideas in the swine industry worth sharing.